miles around, you'll hear them sing. Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun.
Anna Lester.
Yes.
Owner and brewer.
That's me.
Moon Hollow Brewing. How cool.
Welcome.
Yeah. So how did you wind up becoming a brewmaster?
My family has always been really, really into craft beer. I have an uncle that I'm very close with who is a home brewer.
Uh-huh.
And so I was exposed to...
How young?
21.
Uh-huh.
So I started homebrewing with my uncle, and I found it really fascinating and really interesting. I've always loved cooking, so I began homebrewing after that. I moved to Blacksburg.
Mm-hmm. From where?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I followed my parents out here. Mm-hmm. They abandoned me in Albuquerque. So I followed them out here about 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and there's a local farm brewery called Rising Silo.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's a nice place. And
out in the country, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I showed up there.
Tractor on the logo.
Definitely. It's rough and ready in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So I showed up there about 8 or 9 years ago at this point, and I said, you don't have to pay me, but I'll work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we'll pay you. So I started out as a beer pourer, and gradually as they needed more help, I started brewing for them, and I sort of just grew in the role of brewer, and I loved it. And then when this Moon Hollow was set to open, the old owner asked me if I would want to be the brewer.
Wow.
And I said yes. And then last year he asked me if I would want to buy the place, and I said yes.
How cool.
Yeah.
And you could pull that off. Financially.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did get a loan.
Uh-huh.
But yes.
That's so cool. So now you own a brewery and you still are a brewer.
Yes. I'm still the brewer, though now I feel more like the owner.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you feel that every week.
Yeah, huh? For sure.
Yeah. Somebody said there's all female staffed brewery.
Yes, it is currently.
So it's not a law.
No, it's not a rule.
Yeah, it just happened.
You are absolutely welcome to apply if you identify as a man. Like, it's all good.
But it just happened.
Yeah, it sort of, I think, naturally grew from me having such a prominent role and wanting to make it a really welcoming place for women and non-binary. So now most of the applicants that we get fall in that category.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of naturally evolved. And people ask us all the time, can only women work here? And it's no, but they tend to feel comfortable here. And so we get a lot of them applying.
That's really interesting. In Nashville.
Yeah.
There's a brewery called the Black Abbey.
Okay.
And the owner was telling me about what the Black Abbey was, and that was Martin Luther's wife's brewery back in the day.
Very cool.
And he said that majority of brewers in the day then were women.
Yes, I have heard this as well.
Okay. Did they tell you that the name of a female brewer at the time was called a brewster?
No, I didn't know
so
that.
So that's what you are.
I'm a brewster.
There's a garden. What a garden.
Here we are back at Moon Hollow Brewing.
Absolutely.
And it was viral, packed a couple minutes ago. Why did they come here? What attracts them to come and visit?
That group specifically,
no,
or just everyone in general?
Just in general.
I think we have a really lovely atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I think our beers are widely enjoyed. I think a lot of people that don't necessarily think they like craft beer can come here and find something that they really enjoy.
What is signature? What is the most popular?
We are pretty well known in the community for fruited sour ales. So we have a beer on tap called Lavender Fields. It is a sour saison with black currant and lavender blossom. Sounds a little funky, but we've become pretty well known for it. And then we also have...
Did you come up with that?
I came up with that flavor combination. I mean, I'm sure somebody's done it before me, but yeah, I came up with that. I just thought that those two flavors would go really well together and... I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I was correct.
If you had a signature beer
that
you had to submit to represent you, Hannah, that would probably be
Would be the one that represents our personality as a brewery the best.
Yeah.
for sure. It is a sour, but it is not ultra sour. Mm-hmm. Some sour beers that you can find commercially, I think, are really, really intensely sour. And I want something that is more middle of the road. It's not going to wipe your palate out like sucking on a lemon. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a more balanced sour beer.
High octane?
It's about 7%.
Okay.
So,
Serious beer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a 4-5% sessionable beer. You gotta watch yourself, drink mm-hmm. responsibly.
Yeah, get in trouble in the middle of the summer, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Another one, what do you find that people gravitate
toward? Well, people love IPAs right now.
Yeah. Isn't that, we were just talking about that earlier today, and it just keeps getting more crazy
it
viral.
Does. Well, the hazy IPA really saved IPAs in the U.S., I think. We were going down a road that was, I say we collectively as U.S. brewers, were mm-hmm. going down a road where we were brewing extremely bitter IPAs, mm-hmm. very inaccessible. You had to train your palate to be able to really enjoy them.
Why does the hazy make it so magical?
It's not necessarily the haze itself.
I know,
though,
not
the haze
literally,
is nice,
but yeah.
Right. In that style profile, you do have a lower level of bitterness while it's still being an IPA with a lot of hop flavor presence and aroma. Hops can do so much more than just contribute bitterness to beer. The really wonderful, fruity, juicy flavors that you get from a hazy IPA, they all come from hops, which is, I think, something people didn't even realize 5 years ago that a hop could actually provide into a beer. So that's probably one of our most popular beers here is our hazy IPA. And then we do have an American style IPA. I brew it the way I want it to taste, so it is less bitter than a lot of American style IPAs.
What would be a classic definition of an American style IPA?
So an American style IPA is probably around 60 to 75 IBUs, International Bitterness Unit, and it's going to be an ABV range of about 5.9 to 7.5. So it's going to be very bitter, it's going to have a high alcohol level, and it's going to have some malty sweetness as well to balance out that bitterness.
But definitely popular.
Very popular. So we have an American style IPA that's, the bitterness level is a little bit lower, though it is 7.5%, so it's a high ABV one.
Yeah.
It's called the Lunatic IPA, so I came up with the name before I came up with the ABV.
That's funny.
I thought I needed to be pushing it.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking earlier today about yeast.
Yeah.
Because you have very few variables in your palate, your ingredients.
Sure.
And that, to me.
Yeah, the yeast really can contribute a lot in terms of the flavors that you're getting from the beer. So we have maybe 5 or 6 styles of yeast that we use here. We have a special style that we use for our hazy IPA that contributes a lot to both fruity flavors and actual persistent haze. Mm-hmm. We have an American style yeast. We have a Belgian yeast, produces a lot of spice flavor. And of course, very importantly, I've been talking all about ale yeasts. We have a lager yeast strain that we use for our pale lager that we have on tap. And
dig a little deeper on definition of the hazy IPA.
Sure.
Because looking in from the outside,
yeah,
I would think, well, that's a matter of you don't filter as much, leaving some haze. But it's not as simple as that.
Yeah,
is
and
it?
Actually some breweries that are producing hazy IPAs are filtering.
Right.
And they're still hazy.
That's what they were saying earlier today.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a paradox.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you can get the haze from a couple different places. I think the most prominent place is by using grains that have a very high protein content, like wheat or oats, and that protein is going to stay suspended in the liquid for a longer time before settling out.
But again, those ingredients are creating and dictating the flavor
profile, they're adding a lot of body to that beer. They're adding a thick mouthfeel, and that is very that is something that you look for when you want to drink a hazy IPA. You're not expecting the thin mouthfeel that you would get from a lager. You're kind of, you want a little chew to it. Not really, but.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's the 21st century version of Budweiser.
Yeah.
Who would have, back in the day,
No, hazy IPAs are probably the most prominent style of beer, like maybe in the world now, that people are talking about. Other countries that historically have been known to produce like amazing beer and classic beer styles, like Germany, Belgium, the UK, they are now all trying to brew hazy IPAs.
That's so cool. Well, we're just about out of time, but before we go, over your shoulder, there's a Holstein and some other cows. So you have a great setting here.
It's really beautiful.
And we're outside.
It's idyllic.
Yeah, we're outside on a patio. So it implies in the middle of summer, this place would be rocking inside and outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Most of this week has not been rainy like it is today. And honestly, the patio has been full and there's been nobody sitting inside for most of the week. So
Do you do live music here?
We do a little bit of live music, yes. Honestly, our indoor acoustics aren't great, but during the summer months, we try to do live music on the patio. It's so nice.
And the cows probably love it.
Yeah, of course, the cows love it. Yeah. The cows' owners like it, too.
Hannah, we're out of time. Otherwise, we'd chatter on. To learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
I would go to our Instagram, Moon Hollow Brewing.
Okay.
And my name is Hannah Lester.
And you are?
And I'm the brewer and owner of Moon Hollow.
Brewster.
And I'm the Brewster.
I love it. Thanks, Hannah. What a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
World Bicycle Relief partners with communities to deliver specially designed, locally assembled rugged bicycles for people in need. Nearly 1 billion people in rural regions of the world live in communities far from the nearest paved road, walking miles every day just to survive. Distance is a barrier to attending school, receiving health care, delivering goods to market, and other critical services needed to thrive. Find out how you can help deliver rugged, dependable, life-changing bicycles to deserving communities. Log on to worldbicyclerelief.org to learn more.